news and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. Rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Those joining us just now, my name is Thomas Gamble, those that don't know. And here we are, we just finished a broadcast 4 to 6 early this afternoon. And I think it was kind of a hot one, letting you know what's going on behind the scenes that they're not telling you. That's the way I like to do it. You know, because Satan is operating. And that's where these preachers are failing, not to show where Satan is actually operating in people's lives. They do one day a week, you know, an hour long or whatever service they have. But they don't prepare the parishioners for 7 days of Satan in their face and the TV and school and work and everything else. Oh, yeah. TV, everything. You don't prepare them for that. But what's worse, like this afternoon, I had an opportunity when I ran across a minister today, a young one, yes, had an opportunity to talk about the corrupted Bibles. Boy, I did not want to hear that. Whoa, not at all. Well, I'm not going to argue about it. And I said, well, there's no argument. I said, the Bibles are all corrupted except for the King James. I said, there's not even a discussion about it because they're missing verses. I mean, how do you justify verses that are missing and you never get an answer? They can't answer you. And the fact that if I'm asked a question I can't answer, for me anyway, I say, well, gosh, I can't answer that. I think I better try to. If I don't know how to, then I better figure out why. If I figured out why, and, well, I guess I was taught wrongly at theology school, or I have an agenda then maybe they'll come to their mind that you got an agenda. How do you explain that? Missing verses. You know, it's like going to a bank and you're the bank president and you're missing about $100,000. You say, well, we're missing money. And everybody says, well, no, we're not. We'll argue with you. Really? Well, show me the money. It's not there. Where is it? We don't know, but it's not missing. What? What? It's not there. Okay, well, the verses aren't there. How do you explain that? Well, they can't. The reason is, it's corrupted by design. The reason was, they stole the $100,000 by thievery. You know, it's not about being politically correct or going along with what you were taught. It's about what the truth is. You know? And that's, I guess, one of my pet peeves right there is that denial. I mean, missing verses. How do you even, how do you even deal with that? Verses are gone. Over 200 of them. NIV, 64,000 words missing. New King James Bible, 100,000 words. How do you reconcile that with Revelation 22:18-19? You don't. The way they reconcile it is just remain silent and walk away. Well, that's not an answer. It's actually mind-boggling. You sit there and scratch your head, wonder why it is they can't pick up on this. And this is the majority. Because all the schools are teaching them that all the Bibles are okay. And they're not at all. It's not a matter of even an argument. There's no argument there. Whew. Sometimes I just can't get over it. Tonight, I'm going to talk about blessings. Blessings that happen to you after believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings. And you know there's a confusion about what blessings are from God and rewards from Satan. Thin line, sort of. But there is a line of difference between blessings from God and rewards from Satan. You may think because you're wealthy, like Osteen, who's works with Oprah. Oh yeah, he sure does. He's a new age kind of preacher. He's like a motivational speaker on the pulpit. That's all he is. With 10,000 people, he's misleading. Says that God wants you to live an abundant life, materialistically, abundant life in this world, which is completely false. But an abundant life, what about if you don't live an abundant life? What if you're a God-fearing, loving family and you just barely make ends meet? Maybe unemployed. Does that mean God doesn't bless that or bless you? Because you don't have material. Are you serious? Versus a secret society member who's very wealthy, well-to-do, good positions, they believe themselves to be blessed. They're not. They're placated by Satan. That's easy to determine. Because they've taken a blood oath to Lucifer. They've taken a blood oath in Freemasonry and the secret societies and so forth. So God will no way is he going to bless that. So it means they're being placated by Satan. Under the guise of being blessed because they go to church? No. That blood oath that they take is a dividing line. They've given their allegiance to Satan, to Lucifer, when they've taken that blood oath with the Freemasons. I try to bring this up, so hoping some will listen and rethink their position. That's why I bring all this up. I'm dedicated to broadcast, and we'll talk a little bit about, some about blessings, the inerrant Word of God, and April 19th. Oh, it's coming round. Next 7 to 10 days. Well, that would be so, but we should run out of fingers and toes. Lord, tonight we come before you in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we dedicate this broadcast, this Bible study to you. Lord, we lift up to you our prayers, our requests for those family members to be healed. And Lord, around us to chase out those demons away from our homes, from following us in our lives, and spread the blood of Jesus around us. We pray for those we come in touch with, that, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will be between us. That where we go, Lord, that you'll have a church. And, Lord, to guide us in our daily lives, to do it right, to give us that patience, guidance, and keep us mindful of what the Scriptures say by writing it on our hearts. And that conviction to keep us straight. We pray for our veterans, Lord, that they will be reminded, they will be protected through those drugs that they've been given, that, Father, you'll take those effects away, to silence the voices in their heads, and to turn off the technology that's causing them to kill themselves. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will cause this technology in the pharmacies, the pills, do not have an effect. Father, we pray for children that's being profiled for the sacrifices coming up. That, Lord, you'll take away that sacrifice from the wickeds, strip down their protection, expose them, and Father, to save his children, if it be your will. We know that your ways aren't our ways. Father, we put our trust in you. We pray for an awareness, Lord, of how Satan is operating in our country. And Lord, you bring this awareness and discernment to those seeking to help and to guide them to the right action to take and the right words to say. And Father, we pray for the pulpits. And Father, they'll come out and tell the truth and lead their flocks, lead their parishioners to the truth about Jesus. Lord, in these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, lately, this past week or so, past month, the demonic realm has really increased in a lot of people's lives. But so is the Holy Spirit. There's like an increase of supernatural activity, interruptions, integrations, and demonization. These things are real. They're not some Sunday go to church program. You sit there and stop, bob your head up and down, say, oh, okay, and leave, and it's left at the church. No, it follows you home. And those demons, you can't see them, but they are real. And that's the cause for a lot of maladies, family disputes, disputes at work, and interruptions at your homes, interruptions in your worship, fasting, and these kind of things. So turn it around, if you can, to pray against it, Pray for your families and pray that it work different. Work it for you and not against you. Identify for what it is. This is where spiritual warfare comes into play. We're talking about. It's very important. Very important you learn about the armor of God. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. The gospel shoes of peace. The shield of faith placed in your hand. And that helmet of salvation. And when you take up the sword of the Spirit, make sure that sword of the Spirit is sharp. What do I mean by that exactly? Well, use the King James Bible. That's exactly what it means. That's the only real sword that you got. There's no other. It's very important to know. And that's not being done at all. These other Bibles are seem to be taken off with popularity because the preachers support it. Vatican supports it. But mostly the local churches, because that's the way they were taught. And you got different levels of demonization. You got opposition against you, influence, oppression. Sometimes it will bring obsession with one habit or idol or something or another. Controlling. Possession. And even can cause death. And the churches today are not preparing the parishioners for what's going on at all. So can a Christian be possessed by demons? No. Can they be demonized? Yes. If you're a Christian, then you should already be possessed by God. But you're demonized by spirits on the outside. And you have a guardian angel with you. How's God do this? I don't know exactly. But you would be shocked and amazed to find out if when God removes a protective hedge, how the attacks are just going to go on people. People have no idea how well they're protected right now. Thereby, he doesn't allow the demonization to be more than you can handle, but just enough to keep you mindful. You as a believer can attend church on a regular basis. You can still be demonized. People take offense to that, but it's all through the Bible. It means that there's areas in your personality where you're really not in full control. That's why I just read you about Ephesians 6, about the full armor of God. That when I've learned myself in research, study, is that if you don't pray on the full armor of God, Satan will look for that weakness in truth, in righteousness, a peace. Whether or not you're vulnerable to darts and arrows thrown to you by Satan and little interruptions and so forth, those levels I mentioned, whether or not he can get into your thoughts and change your mind to affect your salvation. And to put a different book in your hand and not the King James Bible. Because Satan affects and control is what he seeks by what you see. Pictures, photos, TV, whatever. Actual curses and diagrams. or by what you think through education, public opinion, by using his minions and like a Council of Foreign Relations, etc. By what you say, they come up with key words, phrases that are against God. God is dead. So everybody says, oh, God is dead. They come up with a t-shirt, coffee cups, who knows. Little jingles. That's how they do it. By what you do, try and dissuade you from your walking with God, keeping you off the beaten path. And by what you hear, oh, that goes without saying. TV, movies, education, politics, speeches, whatever. By what you see, what you think, what you say, what you do, and what you hear. And you may say, is that a bit much? I say, yeah, it is, and it's also true. So that's where the full armor of God comes from, is by protecting yourself from those issues, those attacks. So you may still attend service, but be affected by demons. Christians are very, well, not me. It wouldn't happen to me. What are you talking about? I go to church every day. How dare you say that? You know, a little pride slips in there. You have Kundalini spirit, holy laughter, holy drunkenness. That's of Satan inside the churches today. It's not of God. That's directly in churches. Speaking of tongues, in the churches today, you don't have, there's no interpreter. And it's language that you have no idea what you're saying. So they're not really indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Some people can be baptized by the Holy Spirit, but you're going to have an interpreter around to interpret what was being said. A demon can still be inside a church, but the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ within you can force a demon out, to be sure, and your homes as well. You know, this is even true for sicknesses. Satan does cause sickness. The demons that come inside can cause sickness for many reasons. You may have many members of a church, for example, that are sick, have various illnesses. But this is nothing but affliction of demonization. And to be delivered from this sickness, you must be delivered from that demon. But make no mistake about it. Why you don't hear on this subject in modern churches, why? It's not that preachers don't know about demons. They do. As a fellow asleep in school. It's actually the first subject that Jesus Christ talks about whenever he speaks of the works within the church. It's talking about demons and hell. Yet today it's a subject you're not supposed to talk about. He tells us to cast out demons. And in his ministry, he taught disciples to do this first. So why don't our churches do it? Why they take a parishioner out of the church who acts kind of out and has a demon? They should be praying for him. Why would a church not help you if you think that your home is affected with demons? Probably because they don't know how. They were told by Jesus Christ that we're to go out and tell others. And some do, but why don't all of them? The answers are, in the early days, the church thought that they could improve upon Jesus' techniques. But first of all, the Roman Catholic Church decided to cast out demons and said you need a specialist of some sort, or what they call an exorcist. And the same goes for your home. So tradition began and has been passed down through all the churches to this day. So there's two things Satan don't want you to be revealed. And that he and demons exist. And number two, that we have authority through Jesus Christ over demons. He didn't want you to know this. One of the greatest lies, greatest accomplishments Satan ever had was to convince that he didn't exist. You see. But we know he does. Now, why is this? Because this reveals the clash between the two kingdoms. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And that's what's going on right now today. It's not some brush fire in Arizona or feds are going out today in Nevada. Family, all this is part and parcel to the bigger picture. In revealing these secrets, it reveals supremacy of God's kingdom over Satan. And Satan loses. He wants each and every soul to come with him. He'll take whatever he can get. This is what we're really involved in today. So, it just simply makes sense that Satan would infiltrate into the church. He would suppress these techniques to exorcise demons. The churches or the cathedrals or synagogues was teaching corrupted theology, he'd actually give them power. Make it look like they're really casting out demons. Yeah. It's when they're teaching wrong theology, like the emerging church today. Alberto Rivera talks about this, that in fact, he had given examples. Alberto Rivera, former Jesuit priest, was killed by the Jesuits, went public, like John Todd and several others. That demons would cause maladies, physical ailments of sort, schizophrenia and so forth, physical, mental problems. Then they would call the priest to come exorcise the demons, and the demons would leave with a show of power, but leave, thereby giving the priest or the exorcist seemingly some power among the people. In exchange for teaching a wrong theology. Oh, man, it's tricky, isn't it? That's high-level stuff. But it actually works. Same thing with rainmakers, voodoo witch doctors, Reiki healing, acupuncture, meditation, yoga. Oh, absolutely. Now, I know if there's any New Agers listening, they're probably twisting in their seats so much, they're probably presenting a fire in their pants, because that ought to really tick off a few of them, but that's really what's going on. The Reiki healing is nothing but demonization. And the individual, I'm a fourth degree Reiki. Come here, like on what? On Karate Kid, slap his hands together, rub them together, and that, I'm sorry, but it's demonic. Like seances, dowsers. I think I've said that. I don't think I've said that before, but that's what happens. That's where the Reiki comes from. Laying the hands on you, putting the demon in you. That is what they're doing. Becoming possessed. You can look it up yourself. It's all just another part of demonization, like the Ouija board. It's all connected. So to accept the fact that people within the church can be demonized is also the understanding that Satan works within the church and has been for thousands of years. What was the first miracle that Jesus Christ performed? He cast out a demon. He didn't hide it. He You know that all the miracles were previewed in the Old Testament of the Bible, except one. It was deliverance or casting out demons. It's a distinctive mark of the progression between the New and Old Testament. A very decisive difference being the coming of the Lord. Demons live. They work together with humans in a lot of cases, unfortunately. Now, you have what's called a familiar spirit. And this spirit follows a family. It's very characteristic of those that use the Ouija board. Freemasonry, that's that blood oath thing going on that attracts the demons. You know, it does. Other ways, a family member was in witchcraft or Wicca, whatever. And do you know that there are demons which will follow generations within the family? At least four generations? Because of a family member has been in witchcraft or Freemasonry or whatever. They'll follow that family. It's true. And you got most people are dealing with a member within the church is being affected by financial health or other type issues is because one demon carries with it many others. A legion of them could exist. And the demons affect the church and oppress it to the point that members of one family could be attacked. It also can affect the entire church membership. So you have people going at each other's throats all the time and the church just disassembles or goes to different sects, S-E-C-T-S. Church splits up. That's what happened to Jews. Jeroboam and there's another one. What's his name? Jeroboam. And another one, they split up the tribe of Judea. For almost 200 years, and they even fought each other. Well, that wasn't cool. That's what they did. They talk about lost tribes. There's no lost tribes. They know exactly where they are. They know exactly who they married. And they're going to come back together again. It's not America, neither. We're not the lost tribes of Judea. By no stretch of the imagination. We're Gentiles. Sometimes not so Gentile. Demons can be looked at as being like persons. They're a spirit. They have a soul, a personality of sort. They're a spirit with a personality. But this is a reason for so many types. The objectives of a demon are three. One is to torment and torture humans. Two is to keep you from knowing Jesus Christ. Three, to keep you from serving Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, they elicit and obtain help from the pulpit, synagogue, and the cathedrals to do this. There's like 33 ways that I've run across that they use to deceive the parishioners. 33 different ways. That they're taught how to deceive their parishioners. Yeah. You see, you have your fleshly issues of the world, spiritual issues, and you got to discern the two before you'll know if there's any affliction or demonization. But now, what are the blessings of God? You can't be demonized. He can be rewarded by Satan. How does he reward you? He gives people power over others. He gives them riches. possessions, worldly honors like Carnegie Foundation awards or Nobel Peace Prize, because Nobel was Illuminati, Cecil Rhodes, Rhodes Scholarship, different worldly honors to keep people pumped up. He thrives on intellectual achievement. Oh, look at me. I'm a cum laude. You're louder, all right. What are you talking about here? They'll give them all kinds of names and make the different look, the robes when they graduate because of their degree. All that is part of pumping them up, giving them pride and ego and all that. Takes them away from the truth. All kinds of sinful pleasures. He can give people just about anything they want. You know, tried to offer Jesus three things in the desert, remember? So what are blessings that God gives you? When a person, man, woman, child, or girl, believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there's quite a few blessings that you receive. It's not a Mercedes-Benz. You have access to God's grace. You'll find in Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We're adopted by God. Ephesians 1, verse 5. Herein lies the paradox of predestination. He does know the end from the beginning. But he gives everybody the opportunity, even though he knows they're going to fail. And that's something. He gives them opportunity, even though he knows they're going to fail. He knows the end from the beginning, yet he gives them the opportunity anyway. Having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And if you go to Galatians 4, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, and we as Gentiles were adopted. You were adopted by God, equal with Jews. First chosen, but we're all equal now. What's a blessing? He gives you an inheritance, Ephesians 1, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things under the counsel of his own will. Another one, we are elected, saved. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. So the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, and through sanctification of the Spirit, and it goes into obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus around us. Five, you become a child of God, John 1, verse 12. In this one, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Here is where the transition becomes. The sons of God are humans. The sons of God of the Old Testament were not human. Sons of God of the Old Testament were the fallen angels. You see, and the difference is, the death on the cross of Calvary and the resurrection. And so after the resurrection, the terminology of sons of God changed entirely. And even to them that believe on his name. You know, another blessing you get is a heavenly citizenship. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You have heavenly citizenship. Another, you become a servant. Romans 6:22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit into holiness and the end everlasting life. Blessings. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus, Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise, and that would be with the Jews as well. Number 9, you become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Things you used to do in the past, you don't do anymore. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Things change all the time. But you changing from what you used to do to something else is a sign that you're born again. See, for in Christ, like Galatians 6, verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. People wonder if they're saved or not. Well, have you changed at all? If you haven't changed, then I would question my salvation. If you still do the same old things you used to do without no problem, no conviction. And we're reconciled to God, but we become priests of sort. Revelation 1, verse 6 says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Number 11, we're reconciled to God. That's in Romans 5:10. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's very key to talk about, it being reconciled. By the sin of one, Adam, all mankind was condemned. By one man, salvation is achieved through Jesus Christ. Therefore, his original sin is the genius of God, carried from Adam to Noah, because Noah was perfect in his generation. That means DNA. That means the sin gene, the carried through to Noah. If not, then Jesus Christ would have had to die many thousands and thousands of times for each individual. But by original sin, he's only have to die once. Because it's carried through by one person. That Adam began to die the day he sinned. Blood began to run in his veins because his body began to die. Otherwise, he's eternal at that point. Then after that point of his sin, he no longer was eternal. That's when blood appeared in their body. God supernaturally brought the heart in and brought the blood in because life is in the blood. A blessing that you have when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're reconciled to God. Romans 5:10. You are sanctified, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And much were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 13, you're accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in his beloved. Family, the blessings just go and go and go. Love, joy, happiness. But you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're buried with him. Now, in one of my Bible studies in the past, we've talked about this. When Christ was buried, we take him as our Savior, we're buried with him. When he rose, we rise with him. By baptism, we're buried with him, like unto death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by his glory, the glory of the Father, even so we are also walk in newness of life. Some of the best testimonies or by friends or relatives or even enemies, they say, man, you're not the same as you used to be. What's wrong with you? You don't do this, that, and the other like you used to before. Hey, they say, what? You one of them there Bible thumpers? That's actually a compliment when you think about it. They're a testimony to your change. Well, sometimes it's not so pleasant. Sometimes it draws a lot of fire towards you. No pun intended. Family, work, friends, out in town, whatever. Sometimes it gets a little testy. You have eternal life. That should be number one, actually. John 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand when you're born again. That's what it says. Can you fall away? Yeah. You can backslide. I wouldn't advise it, but you can do it. Because that backslide, you had to work out much harder to get back on the track. Satan figures, I got into backslide, then we'll nail him. That's what he does, too. You gotta really work hard to get back on track. You have peace with God. There's your peace, love, and joy. Peace with God. Peace in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, any peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, that's key right there, because they're trying to put fear in everybody nowadays. When you get born again, another blessing would be a friend of God. You become a friend of God. John 15, verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, for all things I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. That would be through the Holy Spirit. And one of the most important ones is you get into the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall be in no way wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Number 20. You receive imputed righteousness. Romans 4, verse 6. even as David, that describes the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Your names are written in heaven. You're given the blessed hope of Christ returning. You're seated in heavenly places. And you have fellowship with the Trinity. You have a mansion in heaven. Family, there's so many blessings you get. People don't take account for it. They think of blessings as rewards more than anything else. But what must you do? Well, I'm not done. We may talk about some more tomorrow. But what must you do? What must you? How must you lead someone to Jesus Christ? First, for you or to lead them to realize that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John what? John 3:16. Just realize that God loves you. Now, just saying that will bring that Holy Spirit down there among you two. He's going to capitalize on that. Secondly, must realize that everyone is a sinner. We come through Noah. We come through Adam. By one man's sin, mankind is condemned. By one man's sacrifice, all men are saved. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Thirdly, get that person to know, to realize that sin has a price that must be paid. And it was paid on the cross of Calvary. But we have to go to Jesus and be repentant. That's our dedication. Instead of dying, because we're not coming back to life unless God raised us. But we have to make a free choice. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Fourth. Realize or get them to realize that Jesus Christ died to pay for your price. He died for you. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Fifth, finally, pray and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Claim his promise of eternal life. In Romans 10:35, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is how you know for sure you're going to be on your way to heaven. You shuffle to the door. You got your parachute. And the parachute packers, they're saying, yeah, I packed it for you. That's his motto. I pack, you fly. You shuffle to the door. And he says, you packed my parachute, right? He says, I sure hope so. I guess I did. Wrong answer, man. That's a wrong answer. Or you pack your own parachute. You shuffle to the door. Jumpmaster says that you pack your parachute. You say, well, I think so. That's the wrong answer. You better know so. There's no going back. It's not like Private Benjamin. Y'all remember Private Benjamin? This is not the army I joined. It's making me work. My fingernails are getting rusty here. Where's my private bath? Joined the wrong army. Heaven's the destination. It's another dimension. Well, what is your instruction booklet? It's King James Bible. And boy, they're trying to get rid of that so bad. In packs they run. And you find it a lot in YouTube and Facebook and even preachers out here. Unbelievable. The Bible is the inerrant word of God. King James Bible. And can you say we have it? The answer is yes, we do. A lot of theologians will actually argue with you. A lot of preachers today will say God created the universe and life. He used evolution. What? He used the Big Bang, intelligent life, intelligent design. Oh, man. They come up with all kinds of tricky ways. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And, man, don't believe all that nonsense when they tell you that the word of God is found only in the originals. Nobody has them. And Jesus made a promise. We know he cannot lie. Well, you have to read the originals. Oh, you mean I got to learn Hebrew and Greek and get a couple thousand dollars, more than that, actually, a lot more than that, and fly to Israel, right, or wherever they're kept, after I learn Hebrew and Greek? That's nuts. God knew that the universal language would be English. He knows the end from the beginning. And notice I said universal language. Hebrew roots, sacred name movement, British Israelism, Christian identity would have you think otherwise. It goes right back to what the Vatican used to do. So everybody would follow them. They made sure that education wasn't an issue, that there wasn't any. And then Latin was the language of Satan anyway. So say, well, let me interpret it for you. Sit down, little children, and I'll read it to you in Latin. Or I'll interpret it for you. It's in Latin. You can't read it? I know. But I'll interpret it for you. Yeah, right. That's what they've done. On the Torah code, Bible code. So not only do I have to learn how to speak Hebrew and Greek, all right, then I have to find me somebody that knows how to read the Torah code or the Bible code. You see the absurdity of all this? No. Those in other languages would have the King James Bible translated. In Hebrew, the Jesus name would be Yeshua. In English, it's Jesus. In Chinese, I think, Mandarin, it's like Yesu. But it's going to come out of the King James Bible. And it's the language that you can use. The trick is to get everybody to say Yeshua worldwide. Why? Because Yeshua is the name going to be used by the fallen angel, Sanan de Emmanuel, when he comes in as the false prophet. That was a mouthful. In disclosure. Now, that's what they're getting everybody to try to connect. So people aren't connecting the dots to find out why. So everybody that's, you know, into study thinks it's exotic to say the real name of Jesus. They said in Hebrew. Well, no. The tasking of putting out God's holy word fell upon the Gentiles after the Jews failed. It's called the time of the Gentiles. And the time of the Gentiles will be over. The holy word will be distributed. Everybody's on equal footing. Jesus is no respecter of persons. Maybe that's why the Jews don't like Jesus. Well, too bad they don't like him. He's still the Savior, no matter what you feel about him. Nobody has these originals, family. And they're saying that we don't have God's word today. And directly contradicts Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 35. As a result of this, and it's planned, not subsequent, it's planned this way. The faith of many young Christians is shattered by the time they leave Bible college. They fall prey to this trap. How about when you're doing Bible studies? You ever had that time where you're doing Bible studies and you have people read different verses and all, and they're reading something entirely different than yours? Family, it's by design. To get away from the King James Bible. And the lure was that, oh, it gets rid of the these and thous, it's easier to read. That's baloney. Now, when you question the word of God, remember, Satan's first words to Eve in the Garden of Eden was, "Yea, hath God said," Genesis 3, verse 1. You know, Satan questioned Eve about God's word, and you know the results of her listening to him. That's what's happening today in different ways of people misleading and leading us astray. Or they'll say, the authorized King James does not say that properly. The Greek doesn't really say that. The authorized King James is hard to read and very much outdated, they'll say. Or they'll say, well, where'd you attend Bible college last? Well, I didn't. And also, neither did the disciples. They say that you need to go to Bible college. Take some Hebrew classes so that you can better understand the Bible. That's nonsense. I don't have to when 47 real scholars interpreted the Bible in Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Aramaic, and English for me, so I don't have to go and learn Hebrew. But you don't have to go to school to translate the Bible. You've got the best teacher in the universe and beyond. His name is the Holy Ghost. You've got the Word of God, the authorized King James Bible. And have you ever gotten any increase of knowledge from a preacher's explanation of the Greek? Was he inspired by God when he tried to interpret it himself? No. Not when it contradicts the Bible, King James Bible. You know the forceful, unabated, inerrant, irreverent attack on King James Bible is that it has served Christendom for almost 400 years. It's a result of liberalism just going crazy by design. NAACP, ACLU, that's how it works. They're very clever how they do it. Some false prophet will turn us away from what we know to be true. You need to say, get thee hence behind me, Satan, for thou desirest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. So, instead of worrying about the Greek and Hebrew, and self-esteem and so forth, and Christian financial seminars, and how families get together and lovey-dovey and all that stuff. We need to get more spiritual power by obeying God's commands. And the Lord's business is being left undone today. Been left undone for quite a few generations, actually. To get out in the street witnessing and seeking souls to be saved, standing in line or at some church or some restaurant, some, I don't know, when the opportunity presents itself, called divine appointment. He that winneth souls is wise. And the real hard one here is to live holy and not watching Satan's TV and movies. Now, I know that sounds a little fogey, but it's actually true. Because the majority of the movie stars, singers, dancers, and songwriters admit that they're in league with Satan. They tell you they are. You do the hand signs and all that stuff. And with the words, they confirm. God is a great revealer. Satan's a great deceiver. So you might say, keeping the Lord's commandments and stop saying, I just don't measure up. All I've done, I'm doomed. Well, no. Whosoever loveth me keepeth my commandments. Real simple. Teaching your kids about Jesus and stop giving them video games to keep them quiet because they will use it. How many times you see the teenagers under teenage, early 20s, walking and absorbed completely in the cell phone or Android or whatever. I've seen women actually, you know, and a guy or two, they're walking to a fountain. There's a fountain, like you got a square fountain in a square, round fountain in a square. Anyway, so they're walking and they're doing the texting or whatever they're doing and run smack dab into the fountain and fell into the water like they didn't even see it coming. A fatal hit and runs because they're texting or sexting or what to call it. They suspended a bunch of eighth graders on account of texting or sexting when they talk about sexy stuff on the cell phones. Whatever. New problems, new devices. I found also these video games, the smartest kids around anywhere, when they're playing a lot of those video games, it's challenging, they're absorbed in it, they're focused on that screen. They completely lose their peripheral vision for minor details. That's the purpose for it. And boy, it works. That's happening. They don't. They can never be a cop. It's like proverbial tunnel vision. It's like one of those old mules has those blinders on either side of his eyes. Same thing. Matter of fact, how about that little, it is funny, I have to admit, but sometimes it's not, but that little thing where they have a Pac-Man on your screen of something where you connect lines or dots, and the unaware victim is taught by friends or family, whatever. Hey, man, look, can you make this whatever doodad thing go certain places on the screen? Some kind of simple little game. Sure, I can do it. He gets down there, and it's intense. So you got to really get in the tense, trying to get this thing to do whatever you want to do, paint it or move it or whatever. And what happens within 30, 40 seconds is a quick shot of the exorcist face. Like that. And the face of people absolutely need a whole pack of Depends after it's over with. So it plays on that intenseness that draws people into the screen so much that it totally wipes them out when that ugly face goes like that, and people just freak right out with it because they're so involved in trying to get this video game or something to work. Completely absorbed. Praying, fasting, praying for your pastor, your families, enemies, strangers, acquaintances, friends, co-workers, government even. They'll come out of their stupor. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The fervent, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Second Chronicles 7:14. They've disrupted the family structure to destroy the country. So, the women, according to Adam and Eve, are supposed to be subjugated under the leadership of the male. The male is the worker, the disciplinarian. The wife is the homemaker, educator, teacher, trainer, all that. The male is the spiritual leader of the family. And there's some people probably saying, man, I'm never going to listen to this channel again. Power to the women. Now, I don't have a problem with that. Power to the women. I mean, everybody needs to be empowered, I guess. But you can't have two heads of household. God set it up. Man does this role. Woman does this role. That's the setup of the family, and the family structure is what works. Well, so much so, they wanted to keep it contained in the nuclear family stage during World War I to have people galvanized, work together, and all that. Now, after 1946, it was time to take the United States down, to set forth and destroy the families. They get all kinds of ways, feminism, all kinds. So you put them in bondage. Then you find ways to free them. You put blacks in bondage. Then you find ways to free them. Put whites in bondage in Europe. Oh, the Inquisition's coming up now. They're trying to tell you about that stuff now. Then you find a way to free them. It follows a dialectic every single time. That's how Satan does it. Man, we fall for it as a human generation every single time. Because people don't understand how Satan operates. Okay, point is, the wife is supposed to be subjugated to the husband. So as long as he's a spiritual leader. He doesn't lead the family in spiritual fellowship with God. Well, it's going to go awry. So let's really use divorces. Let's empower the women to be a preacher to men. Now, I'm not making a judgment here. I'm just telling you what works, what don't. And the strategy they're using. I got it documented. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. On the different projects she submitted for this very purpose. That's why all of a sudden you're going to see a lot more. A rash of women presidents, prime ministers, and so forth. And Hillary is going to be going in for president with Wesley Clark, vice president. It's a role switch, which goes against God. But men, being abusive to the wife, as I'm head of household, woman, no, that don't hold water. Paul didn't talk about that now. You treat the wife with love and respect. As Christ would teach the church. So, wives, learn to submit to your husbands. Is abusive husband? Now you got a problem. That's where all this comes to upset this equilibrium. That's what it's all about, unfortunately. How would a woman be subservient to a man when he's a wife beater or drug addict and all that? Well, she can't be, you know. And they know, too. Well, look here. Husbands, learn to love your wives as you love yourself. People always give Paul a bad rap. It's because they pick and choose scriptures as they want. Read the whole book. Read the whole book of the books that Paul wrote. Do we have the inerrant word of God? Well, you got to have the originals. Really. Go to Jeremiah 36:23 and 36:32. God had that Jeremiah write down his words. What happened exactly is the originals were destroyed and Jeremiah rewrote them. If the originals were that important to God, to the Lord, he wouldn't have had them destroyed. So it's not to place the emphasis on the originals that God didn't place emphasis there either. You know, the Old Testament, and the New Testament certainly, is full of warnings about Satan, his false prophets that's trying to deceive us. Are the warnings in vain? I don't know. Shouldn't be. But always check out everything that comes your way in the light of the Word of God, comparing spiritual things with spirituality. Spiritual. Test the spirits. Are you of Jesus Christ? They can't lie in that regard. If that we are in a war, that means that we're fighting, contending by the faith to once delivered to the saints. If you don't find yourself standing, fighting for the things of God, you've got to reexamine our walk. So, can you pretty much see how faith would be all messed up in this regard? Someone would say, you don't have to have faith. I said, what Bible are you using? I started to say, what are you smoking? If Satan could change the Bible to say whatever he wanted to say, can you see how these different versions are desensitizing and those with true Christians to manipulate God's word? Don't like it, just erase it. Don't work that way, as they say. Because we're in a war. And that means we're fighting, contending by the faith, once we deliver it to these other saints. That if you don't find yourself standing and fighting for things of God, you got to reexamine your walk. So can you see kind of how the faith would be messed up at this point? Man, you especially true when you see the UFO thing going on. Holograms, fakery, trickery, fallen angels taking on shapes and forms, desensitizing even to true Christians to manipulate God's word. Talking about the inerrant word of God. Yes, it is. Very much inerrant. Now, this is April, okay, we're in April, month of April. We got a few days, a week or so, from April 19th. Man, we're coming right upon something. I don't know what it is yet. But boy, they're going to sneak something in there. It looks like, anyway. Now, my website, I've got a timeline. Suicide conspiracy. I got a couple projects on that. HPV vaccination. I've talked about in the past about Easter. On my website, I also have archives. And in the Religion Archives, or I think it's the Religious Archives, the Bible Study Archives. Might be in the broadcast. You have an article, or I mean a broadcast I did about Easter and the pagan origin of Easter. And the King James Bible supports it in Acts 12, verse 4. I mean, slam dunk, pagan. How come everybody missed that? Anyway, every holiday is a pagan holiday, including Christmas. I'm sorry, but it is. And each of the holidays are specifically placed at a point in time of that month that portals can be opened. That's what they're for, because human sacrifices take place. So I did do a study on the Easter in one of my last broadcasts. So, yeah, I don't have to go over that again. What I want to talk about, though, is April 19th to May the 1st is very crucial for the occultist. Family, people die on those days. April 19th, and sometimes beginning even of 15th to May 1st, is a very important time period for Satanists and Lucifer and those that follow Lucifer. It's the Illuminati, blood sacrifice to the beast Moloch, and begins with a 13-day period. And a fire sacrifice is required on April 19th. So a lot of major events in our history have taken place on April 19th. You ever take 1 or 2 days variance? April 19th was the Battle of Lexington and Concord. Shot heard around the world. 1,400 British soldiers were killed. You say, well, that was Revolutionary War. Yeah. If we won it, how come we had to pay back the debt that they turned us into a United States Incorporated? Pray tell. Even as of April 15th, 2013, you had dead and injured, supposedly, at the Boston Marathon. April 19th, 1993. 51-day siege at Branch Davidian Compound for weapons. Men, women, and children were massacred there. April 17th, 2013. Hundreds believed injured in Texas fertilizer plant blast. April 19th, 1995. Oklahoma City bombing. I have to go there. You already read about that millions of times, I guess. A few days before, yes, April 17th, you had an explosion at Oklahoma City chemical plant. That bombing took place. And what they did was they shifted the attention toward militia. So April 19th, 1995, Oklahoma City bombing. April 17th, 2013, was explosion in Oklahoma City chemical plant. The Bible Belt. Buckle to the Bible Belt, they call it. April 20th, 2010, Deepwater Horizon offshore drilling rig explosion. It's quite a laundry list of things that I found April 19th to May the 1st. April is Sacrifice Preparation Day. It's why I pray against the kidnapping of children during the spirit of time. And some of them will never see the light of day. Can you imagine? Millions of them. Millions of kids every year. And this is what they go for. So, certainly there's percentages of domestic, husband or wife taking the kid. Runaways and what have you. But that's not the majority. And that week, Easter week, Black Mass and Black Sabbath. Remember the old group, Black Sabbath, back in the day? Well, I'm going to talk more about these holidays as we go along. And April 19th is just massive. You can find out yourself on it. April 19th to April 25th is a sacrifice preparation. Walpurgis, Walpurgis, night, Beltane. See, they use these holidays, Christian holidays, they call them Christian holidays, to hide the true intent. And we are participators. By being there, the life forces dedicated that morning of sunrise service, unknowingly, unwittingly, are supporting the pagan tradition. Now, you tell this to 99.9999% of most churches, don't think you've gone crazy. Fact is, when you start learning the truth, it's like you live in a whole new world. And it's going to divide families up. It's going to divide countries, states, you name it. Because it's one issue. A very important issue. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And among Christian nations, Christian congregations, you're going to be so divided on it. And that's the purpose of it, to facilitate the coming great falling away. You have to stand strong in the Lord. It's coming down. Satan's going to put fatigue on you. He's going to cause family relationships to get messy. He's going to have work relationships messy. You'll get tickets. Sickness. And if he can't make you sick because you're covered in the blood of Jesus, he'll go after a family member. Family, this is way beyond the distractions of Nevada today, of FEMA, you know, all these things. This is all part and parcel getting you all distracted. Are we heading toward martial law? Yeah. I discovered today, I covered it exactly to show you it's been going on since 1919, 1917, if not before. So all these other things that keep you all busy. And then they put people, religious and political, that work for the Illuminati. We'll work for you. We'll do this for you. Blah, blah, blah. And they don't have any intention of doing so. Jesus Christ is the only way. I don't know how many times I can say this. But that's what I'm trying to get across. And would behoove those in the highest level of security in the government, cosmic top secret or four-star general, it don't matter. Don't matter at all. Better get out of there. There's nothing you can do to stop the tribulations once it gets started. Some of them hope that they're going to play musical chairs with their life, that maybe if I just extend it or something, you know, may cause it to happen or not to happen, that maybe I'll die before this thing happens. Well, I got news for you. You ain't going to die. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Zip, that's it. You don't hang around Starbucks like a familiar spirit and haunt Starbucks. Woo-hoo, mocha choca. It don't happen that way. When you die, the body goes to the ground to sleep. Join you later. Soul, spirit, go to heaven or go to hell. That day is coming. And our time has come. And I appreciate y'all coming by. And it's 9 o'clock here. Blessings from God. Look them up. Versus rewards from Satan. The King James Bible is the inerrant word of God. And know that you'll be demonized but not possessed. Putting on the full armor of God to withstand the attacks of the devil. I mean all the armor. Because Satan will find out which one you don't have on. What do you mean have on? Armor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the praying. Because the angels that sent down to you will have that particular piece of equipment on. Or will not have the particular piece of equipment on. That will be a weak spot that Satan will attack. And now I go back to what I was saying. What you see, what you think, what you say, what you do, and what you hear. Y'all have a good night now. And rest in the Lord is what you do. The trials and tribulations, pray for patience, knowledge, and wisdom to get through them. They are going to increase. You can count on that, especially if you're walking with the Lord. They will increase quite exponentially. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together in prayer, in Bible study. Father, to lead us this week, the rest of this week, and through the coming times, this month and next month, that all tragedies that may happen, that, Lord, you'll be there with us and guide us through them, and those to help others as well. Father, to guide us in having more Bible studies, to bring the group up, Lord, and the words to speak. Yes, I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, have a good night. Study the Word. And be ready for anything. But no matter what, stay with Jesus. Y'all have a good night now. And God bless. And this is the Watchman signing off. Good night.
Every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night. God bless. And the station will continue its 24-hour loop once I sign off. Signing off. Good night.